Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 98th episode of Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched one of Mom's favorite movies, The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
It's rated PG-13. It's from 1998, 97 minutes long, and directed by Frank Peracci.
Correct.
It got 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is a little low for how fun this movie is.
But it came out on the holdover week for Titanic.
Oh, well, okay.
So, you know what?
All right. That it's as good as it's going to get.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. It got 60 on Metascore. Mm-hmm. And it got 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb, which is bullshit.
I think so. But, you know, we hash this every week. What are people thinking?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either. Because I think this is a wonderful movie.
It's a great movie. And it's still a great movie.
It is.
A great movie in 1998. It's still a great movie.
Yes.
It had a budget of about $18 million.
Is all.
And a worldwide gross of $123.3 million.
Wow.
So, made a ton of money.
Yes.
But at that time, Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler were both hot commodities.
Yes. Yes, so. They were. And I believe I had read somewhere where this was is still Adam Sandler's highest grossing movie.
Okay.
Which I get it. Absolutely. But I love it. This has been one of my favorite movies for a long, long time. I've seen it many, many times.
It's cute.
It is. And I just noticed it was from 98, and this is our 98th movie.
Oh, crazy.
How fun is that? That says something.
It's like we planned it.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Never plan anything. Never. Except this 10 movies we're on that.
Right. Our planning consists of getting on the phone like the day before we do this and saying, are we watching a movie this weekend? What is it?
Just getting ready this morning, and I was just like, this is going to take us, like, to the end of the year. Our 100th movie is going to be the last movie of 2025.
Oh my gosh, it will, won't it?
Yeah. And then I was like, you know, it would be really smart of me to print out a calendar and plan ahead so we're not scratching our heads. What movie are we going to do this week? What movie are we going to do this week? That way we have, you know, some notes.
But we're so good at what we do. You know, procrastinating.
Pulling something out of our asses.
Yes.
Listen, this was just a fleeting thought while I was getting dressed to feed the cats this morning. It doesn't mean I'm going to go do that.
Okay. Okay.
But I did think that we probably should think about something like that.
We should do that. It wouldn't be hard. And it wouldn't be hard for us to plan ahead.
No.
As you, if you look at our TikTok, you will see us in front of the wall of movies.
Oh, Big Daddy and I are working on centralizing our movie collection because we have a shitload of movies.
Yes.
We have an old bookcase, we have a new bookcase, and we have a new bookcase that is not yet constructed.
Yes.
And the old bookcase and the new bookcase are almost all the way full already.
Yes. So it would be easy for us to plan ahead.
Yes.
To go to the archives and find something that we would like.
Yes.
So we'll think about it.
Because I know we've got like the next 4 or 5 movies planned.
Yes, we do. We do. You know, we've got our 100 movies, and then we're going to do spooky time. We're going to do October movies.
Yeah, and then a Christmas movie.
Right, so.
And well, it depends. It depends on if it snows or not this winter.
Although we're supposed to get 5 inches today.
What the hell?
Are we going to have to come back tomorrow and do a movie?
No, I got plans tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. You do. Okay, never mind.
You'll have to trek over in the dark.
Do it myself?
Yeah.
Okay.
You and Tallulah man the computer.
All right. She does a good job.
Yeah, so why not?
She's got all that training.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, we do. We
got to get The Shining in at some point.
We'll get The Shining in. And if we're going to get 5 inches tonight, this may be our snow year.
Yeah.
It has been more than 4 years since we've gotten any real measurable, long-lasting snow here in Toledo. So this may be our snow year.
Yeah. So,
you know, we've got it.
So
we've got quite a few movies already in the bag. So why not get a little calendar? We could try it. I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not?
We're both reasonably intelligent, educated women.
Yeah.
We have potential for planning ahead.
And, you know, it doesn't, I don't portray myself as this, but I am quite type A. So planning ahead really is something I should be into.
I also am that type A, but planning ahead is not one of my fortes.
No. Like, I'm good on a trip. Like, I've got clothes for a week. We're going for 2 days. I've got clothes for a week, pills for a week. We got snacks for a 7-day drive.
Right. I get it. Let's try it. Not that any of our years so far have been awful, but sometimes we do stress a little finding that movie.
Yeah.
At the last minute. So
right.
Let's try it.
Sure.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. I'll work on that.
Okay.
The plot of this movie is that Robbie, a singer, and Julia, a waitress, are both engaged, but to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And fortune intervenes to help them discover each other. And a happy ending ensues.
Yes. But there's a lot of ups and downs along the way.
Well, of course there has to be. It can't be a perfect thing. The cast is Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore, Christine Taylor, who was also hot at that time.
Very, yes. Yes.
Alan Covert, Matthew Glaive, Ellen Albertini Dow, Angela Featherstone, and Alexis Arquette are the main faces you recognize.
Yes. I think it's the perfect group of people for this movie.
Yeah.
They couldn't have picked any better.
No. And Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler have been love interests in several movies. And they're all sweet movies because they play off each other so well.
This is their first movie together.
Yeah.
She once commented in an interview that, I wrote this down somewhere too, that she felt that he was her acting soulmate. And I absolutely agree. They're perfect together.
Yeah.
They really are. In my opinion. So, yeah. Yeah. And this, this is a group of people that, that work together well.
Oh, yeah.
So
all of the Adam Sandler players.
Yes.
The background people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Not necessarily the people who are sparring, but he works with his people and they all work together well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Even the director, he and Sandler went to New York University together.
Okay.
So, they were there at the beginning, I guess.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay. Are we ready to just dive in?
Sure.
Okay. Frank Caracci is best known for his work with Adam Sandler. He was born in Shirley, New York. He graduated from New York University Tisch School of Arts.
Okay.
He has directed a bunch of movies. Our movie, Waterboy.
Waterboy's great.
Just a whole bunch of them. Whole bunch of the Adam Sandler movies. He has also done several of Sandler's music videos.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, we're very familiar with actors or directors going back and forth. And, you know, even though they're two way different products, that a good director can go back and forth and bring them forward. He has also directed the movie called Around the World in 80 Days with Jackie Chan.
Okay.
But they claim that that was one of his biggest flops. But I recall when that movie was out, and I don't remember that it was that big of a flop. It was popular with the group that it was popular with, I think. But I don't know.
I've never seen it. I know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He has also done some TV, and he has done acting. He's a cameo in almost all of the movies.
Oh, really?
Yep. He has had both critical and commercial success. He won a Movie Guide Award for the People's Choice Award nominations. He has won a Movie Guide Award. He was nominated for a People's Choice Award.
Okay, I wondered where you were going with that. I was like, what the hell does that mean?
I can't even read this morning. Holy cow. And he has also been nominated for Academy Awards.
Really?
Yeah, in makeup. Which I don't understand that, but it's okay. It's okay. He has also a Platinum Award for movie music albums. He has done some of those. And he has an Emmy nomination. And several of his movies are on best of lists. So, you know, his work with Adam Sandler has certainly, you know, given him the edge, I think.
What are some of his other movies? Did you write those down?
The Sandler movies, Waterboy, Click. I didn't write a bunch of them down.
I think it's called Click.
Click. Let's see if I've written any. I've got all kinds of.
Click, Waterboy, Around the World in 80 Days, Lost Weekend. Oh, Steve Coogan's Hot Air. Okay. I love Steve Coogan. And that might be, I wonder who he's playing. Is he playing Alan Partridge there? Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge is one of my favorite things in the world.
Okay.
The Ridiculous Six. Okay. Blended. Here Comes the Boom. The Zookeeper.
See, but he's done a lot of movies. So, you know, he must have something going for him.
Yeah.
And this movie, I think, is, we'll get more into it when we're talking about production and stuff. But to have a star like Adam Sandler, and back in that time, Sandler was big. He'd been on TV all that time, and he was, people really liked him and watched him, and to get such a nice movie out of this, not having the star in every shot, made a good movie. So I liked it that, you know, this was a just a good movie.
It is just a sweet movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? This guy has done a lot of stuff. He's hosted a show on the Travel Channel with a chef called Sammy B, called Chow Masters. I don't remember that show.
I feel like that name sounds familiar, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
No, I don't. I used to watch Travel Channel more, but I don't. I haven't watched it in the last few years. But the Chef Sammy B sounds familiar. He's done travel documentaries. And he's working on Netflix stuff. So, I mean, this guy's busy. This guy's busy.
Well, they just did Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh, uh-huh.
Where's Happy 20 years later? And, is he still golfing? And it's, his Happy Gilmore 2 is kind of sad in the beginning.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
Never seen that one either.
Oh, Happy Gilmore is about a guy who he just can't hack it as a hockey player. But he, that's, my whole identity is being a hockey player.
Oh.
But, he's just not good at it.
Oh, dear.
And he just kind of happens upon golf, but he plays golf like hockey.
Oh, yes. I've seen the commercials. Yes.
Yeah.
Where he's chopping at the ball. He had a fight with Bob Barker.
Yeah.
Okay. I know this movie.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. But yeah, I mean, this guy's busy, and he's been around a while. If he did this movie in 1998 and he's still around, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That is a good thing. Let's see. Okay. Sandler had this idea for this film. It had been floating around in his head. And he with writer Tim Herlihy, who is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Were inspired by a radio show that they had heard in the 80s. And they got together and they were able to put this movie together because they thought that Sandler needed a female perspective on stuff. I don't know. Is that something from the early 90s that you got to have a female perspective on stuff?
Well, I think you can play men like Happy Gilmore and men like Billy Madison for a very short period of time. Okay. Until the character does become a tragic middle-aged person.
Okay.
Which is what they did with Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore 2. So... they did need to put him with a pretty girl and make a love story because, how else is he going to be viable in Hollywood? He can't play 30-year-old man children
for the rest forever. Of his life. Right. So they got together and they put this movie together and then they needed to really flesh out the part, I think, is what I read,
yeah.
What I assumed when they brought on Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Yes. Princess Leia.
Uh-huh.
She was a script doctor, is what they called her. And she worked for 6 months adding all of the dimension to Drew Barrymore's part in this movie. I thought, wow, that is so cool. I didn't know stuff like that happened.
Yeah, I also read that Judd Apatow was also one of the script doctors.
Yeah.
And that's back before Judd Apatow was Judd Apatow.
So. Yes. And here, that's what I have here. That Sandler and Judd Apatow worked together to do a bunch of the rewrites to bring the funny out of it. And And it was really Drew Barrymore who had approached Adam Sandler with this desire to work together. That's where I have it. Saying that he was her cinematic soulmate. Oh my God, how fun is that?
Yeah.
And how cool is that? That you can get to a point in your career when you can choose the people you want to work with.
Well,
yay.
Drew Barrymore has been acting since she was an infant.
Well, so, yes, but
you know, she earned her place in Hollywood.
And she was all the way up and then all the way down. So, yeah. You know, so I guess that still says something to me that if you've worked hard enough that you can pick the people you want to work with.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's fabulous.
So think her name really helped her get further ahead. Because I don't think she's a great actress.
No, but she's
cute
and she's personable. Yes. Yes. She's I think a lot of people think, oh gosh, she'd be a great friend, you know?
Oh yeah.
And yeah, that's
I don't want her hugging on me all the time though.
She does look like a touchy person, doesn't she?
She seems to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like my space. Like one hug and we're cool.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, she has over time earned her worth.
Yes.
You know, no, I don't think you have to be a great actress to be a great actress. You gotta be able to follow directions and recognize other people's ideas and carry them out.
Yeah. But Sandler has proven that you can go pretty far being a goofy guy and then move into the serious world, because he's done some serious movies.
Right.
And they're awesome.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's part of being what a good actor is.
Yeah.
Being able to act.
Yeah. And who knew Adam Sandler had it in him?
I've loved Adam Sandler from the first time I think I saw him.
Oh, you would have hated his albums. His albums were so funny.
Okay. Are they the raunchy kind of albums?
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. You know, that was part of it.
You know, he's a 24-year-old man just saying crazy shit. Hilarious.
We see that every day on TikTok, don't we?
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I think he's fantastic. I think he's a good looking man.
Oh, then you should definitely dig into his serious stuff. Uncut Gems and Punch Drunk Love. They're great movies.
Okay. All right.
Because he's so great.
I think so.
And he doesn't play a goofy goober that gets the girl at the end.
Well, that's okay too, I guess. You know me. You know me. I love it when the happy endings.
Yeah.
You know. Let's see. I mentioned that the little jacket that she wore with the butterfly on the back.
Yeah.
She wore that into work one day. And the director just thought it was the cutest little thing he ever saw. And he said, you need to wear that during the movie. Aww. Well, that's an interesting. It's interesting how they would add something to. We've heard that odd stories like that before.
Jeff Bridges' whole entire personal wardrobe was used in Big Lebowski. That wasn't set dressing. That was his closet.
Right. Where they just show up in something and think that fits. That is absolutely what you need to wear this entire thing.
Deli sandals.
Yeah.
On a 50-year-old man. All right.
And she wanted to be she wanted to enjoy the music, so she didn't have anybody tell her what music she would be hearing during the movie. And I think that's fun too.
Oh yeah.
You know, that yay, that song, you know, stuff like that. So I just can't really say enough about this movie. I really enjoy it. I like it. I like the people in it. You know, in the silly scenes when they have the guy running his limousine all over the place.
Oh my God, and the hubcaps are flying off.
And he's driving over, then he throws that mannequin of that bride and groom in the back. Oh my, it's just so funny. And I can absolutely see them doing that to him, you know, and him thinking that he needs to do that to impress this girl. I just think it's hilarious. Hilarious. Okay, we'll get on to reception. Rotten Tomatoes, you know, and that. They said in there, after they do their thing, they always make comments about the movies.
Okay.
The Wedding Singer is a sweet, funny, and beguiling movie.
Sure.
But it's not that they really liked it or anything. No. So. And there's a group called Comics or Cinescope. We have never really talked to them. I probably should have looked up to see if they were still out there rating movies. But they gave it an average grade of A-. And Boy George thought Alexis Arquette was hilarious doing that. Do you really want to love me?
Do you really want to hurt me?
Hurt me. I cannot even read today.
Listen, when I was reading the trivia that I read, they were really wishy-washy on whether or not George Stitzer, the character George Stitzer, was like an homage to Boy George, or if it was just a coincidence. And it's just like, what he would be?
Are you kidding? I mean, did anybody use their eyes to look at George when he was on the stage?
Of course he would. There was an homage to Boy George.
Yes, it was. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so that was funny. And we talked about the soundtracks. There were two. And they were both released in right after the movie.
Right.
And most of the soundtrack is the original songs. It's not when the actors did the songs.
Oh, it's the actual pop music.
It's the actual, yes.
Yeah. Yes. I had both copies on cassette.
Oh my goodness. And Rapper's Delight is the Alan Dowes combination. So that's one of the few songs in there that is...
it's her contribution.
Her part with the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah.
Together. So what is it called? A compilation?
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I don't know whatever. What you're trying to say right now.
Me either. You know, and I write stuff down, and sometimes I write late at night, and I can't even read my own writing.
Okay.
I keep saying I'm going to be better at it, but I'm not.
Sure.
The first of the albums went double platinum.
Cool.
And the second one went gold.
As I remember it, the more pop tunes, the more top 40-ish tunes were on the first collection.
Uh-huh.
You Spin Me Round, your Do You Want to Hurt Me, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. Uh-huh. And like album two was more like the first wavy 80s alternative type. Uh-huh. Stuff, the New Order, the Smiths, the Cure.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
All right. That's why it only went to gold,
probably, because okay. Because I feel like at that time, 80s alternative, like first wave stuff, was still really niche. Like, there's on Sirius, I have Sirius in my car because I'm bougie.
yes.
And I listen to the first wave channel. Like, that's the only channel I listen to is the 80s alternative channel.
Okay.
So.
I thought it's just because you were an 80s girl.
I know. When you're in my car, that's what we're listening to, because that's what I want to listen to.
Oh. And you know what? It's your car. You're driving it. You're paying for it.
That's
right.
You get
to listen to whatever you want in it.
So, you know, I knew all those songs. As soon as that mirrored guitar of the Smiths came on, I'm like, yes, I love this song.
Yes. Absolutely. And there was a musical adaptation of this.
I saw that.
It toured, it was on Broadway, and then it toured for two years, two seasons.
Holy crap.
Which I don't think I remember.
I don't remember that at all.
But I think I should have.
Because when did it say the musical was? Like 2006?
It was on Broadway in 2006. And then it toured in 2007 and 8 and 2009 and 10. Which wasn't that long ago.
No, but I mean, I was cognizant in 2006. So, well, I was an adult then. I should have, that should have been on my radar.
I think, but, maybe not. I don't know. But were we into anything like that? I can't honestly say I was into any kind of Broadway anything.
At that time, I was living with a theater geek. So I should have, that should have been on my radar.
Okay. Well, who knows? But yeah, it was popular enough, but it didn't last.
Well, I saw it ran for 285 performances. That's not nothing.
Yeah. Well, no. And like I said, it was popular enough, but
Got Tony Award nominations.
Not just nominations, yes. So. Who knows? Because I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Well, I don't have a lot of trivia. There was some technical stuff that I just don't care about. Like, Glenn's car was the same specific model of DeLorean as Doc Brown's and Back to the Future. And the type of guitars and the type of amplifiers that Adam Sandler was using when he was sang his Crash Out song.
Yeah.
I don't care about that.
Yeah.
We talked about Carrie Fisher and Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
Some of the people that were looked at, considered for the role of Glenn... Jim Carrey.
No.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
Jack Black, whose career was in its infancy then.
I could see him doing that.
Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Whose brother was engaged to Drew Barrymore for a hot second in the late 90s.
Gosh.
John Cryer. Matthew Broderick. Christopher McDonald, and Christopher McDonald played the rival golf guy, Shooter McGavin, in Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
Right. Also, Dave Chappelle and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, my God. I can see almost all of those guys doing that part.
Right.
Oh, that is weird. So usually we don't see those guys doing the part.
Right.
I could see a whole bunch of those guys doing that part. Oh, my gosh.
The list of women that were considered for Julia is wild. It's basically every young woman in Hollywood.
Okay.
Natalie Portman, Jennifer Lopez, Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Garner, Molly Ringwald, Julia Roberts, Diane Lane, Christina Ricci, Justine Bateman, Christina Applegate, Cameron Diaz, Elizabeth Hurley, Sarah Jessica Parker, Lori Loughlin, Heather Graham, Brooke Shields, Katie Holmes, Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Jennifer Beals, Lauren Graham, and Pamela Anderson.
Oh my God.
And it's wild to me because, like, I'm sure all these women were probably in their early... late teens to early 30s, on the high end.
Yeah.
But I still feel like some of them were too old for this movie.
Yes.
Like Nicole Kidman.
Absolutely too old
for this movie.
Yes.
She probably was only 30 years old at the time.
Right. But no, she, no, uh-uh, no. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is a who's who of pretty women.
Yeah. And all sorts of different pretty women. You know, usually there's a type.
Yes.
But this is.
That is not. That is every pretty woman.
Pretty women of all shapes, sizes, and colors.
Tall, thin, dark, blonde. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I think Drew Barrymore was perfect for this, though.
100%.
Perfect. Perfect.
Betty White was considered for the role of Rosie.
Okay. All right.
And Sandler had asked Chris Farley to participate in the movie in an unnamed role. But Farley was in rehab at the time.
Okay.
And he passed less than 2 months before the release of the film.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
Julia and Glenn's wedding date was set for 8/5/85.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
And the last little bit of trivia that I wrote down is that when Linda comes back, she's wearing Robbie's Van Halen shirt. And he said, hey, get out of my Van Halen shirt before you jinx the band and they break up. They did break up in 1985.
They did. Yep. Yep. I read that too. I thought, uh-huh.
And oh, when the photography lady's going on about all the couples that are gonna go the distance, Donald and Ivana and Bert and Lonnie and Woody and Mia, none of them made it. All of them catastrophic failures.
Yeah, not one of them moved on. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think it's crazy. Let's see, Rosie Ellen Dow was 84 when she did this movie. And she lived until 101.
That's her.
Wow. I think that's funny. And Sandler didn't want any sex scenes in the movie. He says, I'm not good at sex, so we're not going to do that.
Listen, first of all, you know, it's one thing to be in your own personal space doing your thing, but it's another to be in a public space with a bunch of people taking pictures of you doing the same thing.
I can't even imagine.
Wild.
Right. That is crazy.
So, yeah, no, I get it.
I have a little bit about Tim Herlihy, too.
Sure.
Him and Sandler worked a lot together.
Oh, Tim, remember on Saturday Night Live, Adam Sandler and Chris Farley would do the Herlihy Boy?
The Herlihy Boy, yep. That was in honor of Tim Herlihy.
Let me be your dog. Let the boy be your dog. Are you sure about this? Let the boy be your dog.
He's also a producer, which I don't think I knew, but why not?
Yeah.
And the movies he has produced have grossed over $3 billion.
Good for him.
Can you imagine?
Oh, I'd take a little piece of $3 billion.
Jeez, oh, Pete. And when he started working, when he first wrote Billy Madison for Adam Sandler, he was working as a lawyer, and he wrote Billy Madison after he worked all day as a lawyer.
You know what? That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Because Billy Madison is about a boy. It's about a man. It's about a young man whose father is, I don't know if his father dies or what happens, but it is decreed that he has to finish high school in order to get access to a big trust.
Okay.
And Billy, being a party animal man child, is like, he starts all the way back at kindergarten.
Right.
As okay. a 24-year-old man.
All right. Yes. Yes.
So then he has to, you know, go through the grades in order to
okay.
be worthy of inheritance.
All right. All right. Oh my God. And Herlihy worked for Saturday Night Live from 94 to 99.
Sure.
Which is a long time.
Yeah.
But back in the 90s, The writer stayed. They didn't just move in and out. He has a son, Martin, who currently writes now for SNL. Well,
that's a shame because SNL now sucks.
Well, I think so. And he has had a bit in each one of the movies he's been associated with.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think it's fun. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I got.
It's just such a sweet movie. The soundtrack is great.
Yes. There's just something about this movie that I just really like. It's just a wonderful movie.
Because it's that mindless entertainment that has a feel-good feel to it.
Yes.
It's not just mindless entertainment because it's a nice story.
Right. And it's funny. It's funny.
Yeah.
There's no meanness in it. You know, it's just a nice movie.
Yeah.
You can take your kids to see it. Like Sam, there's no sex scenes that you get all embarrassed about. But it's just a good movie. I really enjoy it. And I am sure glad that we could bring it out and parade it around a little.
Well, Rosie talking about her pre-marriage sex life was a little much on the much, but
doesn't everybody have a granny or an auntie or somebody that says shit like that out in public?
No. I don't.
I don't know. I think it's funny. But yeah, that scene, I do not recall that scene where they were talking about his penis. I don't recall that.
No, I really think that was maybe like some director's cut shit because like I would have remembered those pants. Those pants that she had on were what that Drew Barrymore had were wild.
Yes, I remember the part where the old lady is pumping the iron and listening.
Yeah, but I feel like that was in the You Make My Dreams Come True montage with the cake crying and the dress fitting. Like, I feel like that's where that was. And, you know, he's given piano lessons.
I don't know. I don't know, Lex. I don't know.
Yeah.
But no, I don't remember that part where she's working her shoulders. I don't recall that.
All 75 pounds of her?
Yes. Yes, I don't remember that. But it was cute.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was cute. And you're right, those pants, that outfit she came walking up in.
Well,
wow.
First of all, the whole movie she hadn't worn pants.
No, she had.
And then she comes walking up in these goofy ass pants and it's just like, what?
I thought it was great.
This is a great movie.
Yes. And of course, for our theme meal.
Yes.
We had meatballs.
Had to. We were going to have wedding food until we were reminded of the fact that, you know, there's a whole thing about meatballs.
Right.
We have to have meatballs. What are you talking about, wedding food?
Right. When I told Blythe that we were watching this movie today, she goes, oh, that's a good meatball. And I thought, what were we thinking?
Yeah, we were on drugs.
I think so. You know, so I thought it was perfect, so I made up some meatballs.
Oh, and they were delicious.
Well, I'm glad you liked them. I felt that they needed a little bit more.
Justin inhaled his.
But Justin's, he'd been at work all day. He ain't ready for his dinner. He was hungry. I get it. I used to always be hungry after I worked all day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and he didn't take lunch with him, so I don't know what he ate.
Oh.
Because he said, I'm taking the Thanksgiving leftovers. And I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then I woke up, got in the fridge this morning, Thanksgiving leftovers were there. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Damn it, now you have to eat more Thanksgiving leftovers. Oh, well. But yeah, he probably had a candy bar and a can of pop, right?
He doesn't drink pop like that, so I'm not, you know, He did probably have a, you know, bag of chips or something.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you guys liked them because I felt that they were a little deficient. They needed more seasoning, in my opinion.
Oh, no. So. I thought they were great.
But they were fun. That was fun to eat that. And the new sauce I found,
that
sauce was really good.
Yeah.
Really good. So I will get that again. Not that I eat a lot of stuff and sauce anymore. So still trying to keep up my diet. So
yeah.
But tomato sauce is delicious.
Yeah, it really is.
So yeah, that was fun. And then you made some garlic bread for us, which I never even thought about garlic bread. Of course.
I was like, well, we got some salad in the fridge. And Justin's like, is that salad still good? And I was just like, it's a little iffy looking.
I eat weak salad at my house all the time. But I understand what you're saying. I wouldn't feed it to you either. No, we don't need salad first thing in the morning.
No, it was fine.
But we needed breadsticks to go with our meatballs. That
100%.
Was perfect. You couldn't have chosen anything better.
Oh, if I can fit garlic bread into a meal, I'm going to.
Yes, I feel the same way. But I made those meatballs with low carb bread. So those were low carb meatballs.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I think that low carb bread makes really good toast.
Oh, it does. I think so.
It makes better toast than it makes bread.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. But you know, on top of the low carb bread, I poured canned milk. So you know, kind of defeated the purpose of low carb bread once you're pouring on canned milk. You know, because I only use coconut milk at my house, and I didn't think coconut milk would be right in the meatballs.
No.
So I opened a can of condensed milk.
Yeah.
It's fine. Tastes more like milk than coconut milk.
100%.
And then I put it in my little blender cup, and it did not do a good job on the onions, did it?
No, I pulled a few big ones out, but that's all right.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Next time I will put them in the larger cup, which I usually do when I do stuff like that. But the larger cup was not clean, and I would have had to wash it. So,
well, we don't want you working.
Because in the little cup.
We're not trying that hard.
No. No, you are absolutely correct. But I love cooking. I mean, there's nothing wrong with cooking, but hate the cleaning up.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst part.
But when you're making something like meatballs, it's a bowl, and I used my little blender cup as all. So it's not like I even used much of anything. You know, I soaked the bread in the bowl before I put the meat in it. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You use cracker crumbs, don't you?
I usually get canned bread crumbs.
Oh, I didn't even think of canned bread crumbs. I have panko in my cupboard.
Yeah, that's what I usually go for panko when I get bread crumbs.
Yes. No, I tried that. You put the milk in the bread and then you squeeze all the milk out of the bread and it's just like this gooey bread. I think that makes a nice meatball.
Okay.
I don't know. I've
never done it that way.
I just think it makes it less hard. And then I tried not to handle them very much because that will make them hard too.
So. Yeah.
Okay. It was okay. It was a... What were we thinking when we did not think of meatballs first thing when we talked about this movie? I can't hardly believe it. We're crazy.
Well, if you had put a gun to my head, I would have said that that's a good meatball came from a different movie.
Oh, sure.
So...
For a TV commercial.
Of all the movie quotes that float around my brain at any given moment, that's a good meatball is not The Wedding Singer.
Okay. But that's what he says. He said, that's a good meatball.
Yeah, that's exactly what he says.
As he's standing there holding two in his hand.
Oh, and then she squishes them.
How is he going to even get into his car to get rid of those meatballs down the road? Because he can't get in his car and ditch those meatballs in front. Oh, I don't know. That's crazy. Crazy. And we, of course, did a TikTok.
Oh, of course.
You will have to tune into that, because this old lady was trying to do the rap music, and I can't talk that fast, and I can't read that fast. So, yeah, that was pretty funny. But, yeah, I love this movie. It's just a wonderful movie. It's kind of like, you know, everybody's got a movie that they just will turn on. And this is my movie that I'll just turn on.
Yeah.
If I see it streaming, I will turn it on.
Yeah.
But I love it.
As it was streaming all summer long. Go to watch it, not streaming.
But that's our MO. That is our absolute MO.
Yeah.
Oh, this movie, we can watch it. Nope, not today. You can't watch that movie. You gotta watch that movie last week, not today. Such things. But yeah.
Yeah.
So 98, movie 98. I can hardly believe it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, who would have ever thought we would have done something like this?
Yeah.
So what are we doing next week?
The next movie is Abigail.
Well, yes. This is a movie I have never heard of.
And it's newer.
Okay. I'm going to write it down so I don't forget it. So I'm not calling you up during the week saying,
I think it's a Universal movie, part of their, like, their dark universe where they're trying to bring back the monsters. But like, they're not doing a good job with it. Like, the original Universal monsters, Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Invisible Man, those are all, like, iconic movies.
Uh-huh.
And just every attempt to remake the magic of those movies as they were in the 1930s and 40s, just, it can't be replicated. And they've done a couple different Wolfman movies, and they're both terrible. And, you know, they put big names in these movies, and they're terrible.
Right.
And I really did appreciate that this didn't make me feel dumb.
Oh, okay.
You know, whereas, you know, the Benicio del Toro, Anthony Hopkins, Wolfman, it was just like, this is a dumb movie. This is kind of an insult to a person that likes the original monsters. Like, why would you do this?
Interesting. Well, they were made in a different time when movie making was so different.
Right. And all the things that they couldn't say in those movies, you can say now. But
does it need to be said?
No. And that's, I think, where it gets caught up. And I think that, like, in terms of Frankenstein, it's, you know, how chopped up can we make the monster look?
Oh.
How crazy can we make the doctor? You know, how just balls to the wall can we make all of this science? And it's just like, but do you need to?
No. Yeah, that's it. That movies back before all this science and CGI and green screen stuff, they were scary. Those, they were able to make those movies scary. When you're adding all that science and stuff to it, it's not that scary.
No, and, you know, the whole point of Bela Lugosi as Dracula, it was, you know, you don't know whether he's going to kiss you or kill you. And that's the magic of Dracula.
Right.
You know, that's, but, you know, just having, you know, a ravenous beast killing everybody left and right, that's not cool.
No.
Though I will say that who did the Dracula? Was it Francis Ford Coppola in the 90s with Gary Oldman and Winona Ryder? That Dracula is fantastic.
Okay. Did he take a page from the older book?
Well, I don't know. Because, okay. I am not the person Victorian literature is written for.
Oh, God, yes.
And my modern brain can't translate.
Yeah, there you go, translate, yes.
So I've never read Dracula. I've never read Frankenstein. I've never read H.G. Wells. I don't have it in me.
Okay, I understand that. I completely understand that.
But, you know, I know the movies. I've seen the movies a million times.
Yeah. I don't know. I think back then people were more naive and everything was more scary.
100%. Because now, like I said, you can do and say all the things you couldn't do in those old movies. Like, there's a murder in the in Frankenstein that's pretty shocking for the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking at it through the monster's eyes, it was completely an accident.
Right.
You know, if you're thinking, like, if you've got, like, the brain of a child, like, that, I didn't murder somebody. I'm just mimicking what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just happen to die.
Right. Right.
So, I don't know. But I do feel that Abigail treated the viewers as modern adults with half a brain in their head. And, like, you're going to know right away who the killer is.
Yes.
But it's not going to make you feel like, oh, that's the killer.
Okay. I get it. All right. Nice. Then.
So when we went and saw it in the theater, we went and saw it. Like, Justin knew a little bit about it. I think he might have seen a trailer. I went in completely blind. He said, let's go see this movie. It's a horror movie. Let's go see this movie. And I'm like,
okay. Interesting.
Because Justin loves to go see horror movies in the theater. And like 8 out of 10 are terrible.
How?
So he's just like, oh, it's a new horror movie in the theater. And I'm like, oh,
okay. Oh,
but
no.
That one surprised me. I really did. Really, really enjoyed it.
Okay. Good. How fun. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we're watching next.
All right. I'm excited. It'll be fun. Different.
Yeah. And then after Identity, our 100th movie, we're going to watch the Universal Monsters. So you'll get to see that parallel.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll try to keep it in mind. You know, while I'm reading it, or while we're watching it, I'll try to keep that in mind and think about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. All right. Sounds like a good plan.
And we saw in this movie where the parallel to Ready Player One was when they were in that bar, that club.
Yes.
In the booth with New Order playing in the background.
Yes.
So that was cool to have that in our little series as we have come along.
And you know, now that we're watching things, now that I am watching more movies, I'm seeing little bits and pieces like that. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
So you kind of know where these people have come from. You know, they're kind of just like us. They're watching the same movies we are.
Yeah.
Go figure. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me. This whole thing has been interesting. And I think that's why we've lasted this long. Like, you know, we've talked about it before. Whoever would ever thought we would be getting towards our 100th movies?
Right.
You know.
Who knew that mom had an attention span?
Yeah. That's the most amazing part. You know, because for the most part, well, I'm looking at this as my job. This is part of what people expect to hear about. They want to hear about me watching the movie. And, you know, but sometimes it's hard.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just very hard for me to pay attention. I can't afford to pay attention. I'm too broke for that. But yeah, it's fun. It's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. So yeah.
Okay. Are we moving on to our...
Well, we have a lot of dead people this week.
Okay.
And I was just one guy I don't have an age for, so I was trying to look it up, and there's nothing that right in front of me that I see.
No.
So we'll just move on.
Sure.
Yeah, but we have a lot this week, more than last week even.
Wow. Okay.
We'll start out with Dan McGrath at 61.
That's too young.
Yes. Yes. He was a writer. He wrote on Simpsons, Saturday Night Live, King of the Hill. A lot of funny stuff that we've all seen.
Yeah. Did it say what he died of?
It did not. Mm. And that's this whole week, there's not a whole lot of what they died of.
Ooh, okay.
Then we have Alice and Ellen Kessler, the Kessler twins at 89. Now, I didn't know about these women until I started reading about them. They were singers and dancers, and they had a really huge career as professionals. They had a self-determined death. They had been together all their lives. They had neither had ever married, and they had decreed that they would not live without each other. And they got up to 89, and they decided that was all they needed.
Listen, I'm fine with that.
I am too.
Because 89, you've had a long life, and
right.
You know, especially a life like that where you've been in show business
right.
for years. That's wild.
Right. And just the fact that they each said that they wouldn't live without the other made me think that maybe one of the sisters was not well.
Yeah, right.
And that's scary to me.
Yeah.
You know, how can you go on without the other? I understand that completely.
Right. And in a situation like where you come in together, like to go out together is profound.
I think so. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So, and we read about that last time too. All right. Then there's Lewis Small Jr. He was a comic book artist. I did not really recognize him at all either, but he had been a comic book artist for years, and he seemed to be very well known. I don't have an age on him.
I sent him to you because he did something I recognized, and now I don't remember why I sent it to you.
Let me see if I can see it real quick. Oh, he died of cancer.
Oh, dear.
Vampirella, the comic books. Vampirella.
Oh, Vampirella, yeah.
And several other things that I thought, I remember we talked about them. There, you know, we do a lot of comic book stuff, and I know we've talked about several things that have come up through here. But it talked about him being in the army. When he got out, he decided to pursue his career as an artist. He didn't want to go to college. He didn't have any desire to do that. He wanted to draw comics. But it didn't... It didn't say how old he was, which I thought, oh, that's interesting. Did I just not look at the right pages?
Nope. He doesn't look super old.
No. No, he didn't look. But you know what? Anymore, that's... How old is somebody? You can't tell how old somebody is by the way they look. It's
right.
But I thought he had... What I read sounds like he... Live the life he wanted to live, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So, good for him. Then we have Rebecca Heineman. She died at 62 of cancer. She was the co-founder of Interplay. You sent this to me, too, and I thought, is this a gaming system? Is this a game?
No idea.
I don't, you know, I don't know what that means. And I didn't really read much about it. So. She did not. Oh,
co-founding original Fallout developer. Fallout is a big video game series. They just adapted it for television with Kyle MacLachlan as one of the characters. And Walton Goggins is one of the characters. Yeah, it takes place after a nuclear event and people live in like tube cities.
Okay. Means nothing to me.
Okay, that's why I sent her to you.
Okay.
Because Fallout's a big thing. They're still making Fallout games. Justin was just telling me that Circle K has Nuka-Cola slushes, and Nuka-Cola is like the main soda brand in Fallout.
Well, a slush. I'm going to go there and get one.
You know, I imagine it tastes probably, you know, like any brown cola, but
okay. It's a slush. I'm there for it. Okay, well then cool. None of that meant anything to me.
We
and
should
I
should reread these before we start talking so I don't look like an idiot. Shit.
To give me a heads up, like, these are important because...
Yeah.
Because that meant nothing to me. And, okay. You know, I don't know that.
Nope, the video game Fallout. Like, that's a huge
okay.
thing.
All right.
Justin plays Fallout.
Nice. All right, then we have Jellybean Johnson at just 69.
Yeah.
His name was Gary George Johnson. He was Prince's drummer from the time.
Yeah.
I know who that was, you know.
Yeah.
And 69, that's not old either. Oh, here's another music. And I didn't see any cause of death for him.
No.
Gary Moundfield at 63, he was the bassist for Primal Scream.
Oh, okay.
And Stone Roses.
Okay.
Wow. Udo Kier,
yeah.
At 81. You know, when I first looked at the name, I thought, why do I know this name? And then I looked at the picture and I thought, I know who this is. And if you're into you know, this that kind of horror type.
He's like one of those, like, he's a cult film guy.
He cult films, yes, yes. You will know exactly who he is.
He played the vampire, like the leader of the council in Blade, of the vampire mm-hmm. named Dragonetti. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Ace Ventura as the rich guy whose mansion that Ace Ace falls into the fish tank with the shark.
Uh-huh. He was in Armageddon also?
Yeah, he's been in a million things. He did. He was in Warhol's Blood for Dracula and Flesh for Frankenstein.
That's where he got his start, yeah.
Which I saw both of those movies at an age when I shouldn't have been watching those movies because they're basically softcore porn.
That's right. He had more than 200 roles. So he's been in everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And if you saw his face, you'd know who he is.
Yeah. There's a Stephen King adaptation of a Danish miniseries. In the States, it was called Kingdom Hospital. About a hospital that's like built on an old hospital that's also built on like a fault line, and just weird shit happens at this hospital. But it's the Danish version, which was helmed by Lars von Trier, who makes crazy fucking weird movies. Udo Kier is one of the characters, and he plays a baby in part of this miniseries, and it's fucking weird because it's Udo Kier's old man face grafted onto this little baby body.
Okay.
Fucking weird.
But he was very versatile, so he's in lots of stuff.
Yeah, that I think the Danish version is called The Kingdom.
Okay. Yikes.
It's the American one is weird enough. Then you go see that foreign shit and it's fucking wild.
Okay. Nice. Okay. All right. Then we have Jimmy Cliff at 81, reggae artist.
Yeah.
He died. He had a seizure, got pneumonia from it, and died from the pneumonia.
Oh, my God. But 81.
Unbelievable.
And we would mainstream radio knows his hit, I Can See Clearly Now.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Very famous. I mean,
I was like, hey, Deborah, Jimmy Cliff died. She's like, what did he sing? And I was just like, you know, I have no idea. And then I looked it up. I'm like, oh, I Can See Clearly Now. She's like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that guy.
Yeah. It's been around a while. Played a lot. Okay. Here's a sad one. Ethan Brown at age 52. Jackson Brown's son.
Yes.
Model, actor, musician. He was found unresponsive in his home and passed from that.
They
haven't released the cause of death for that yet.
So. Oh, dear.
You know, 52.
It's too young.
And Ethan was the only son of Jackson Brown and his first wife, Melody? I don't remember, but she passed from suicide years ago. Years and years and years ago. In the 70s, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, the late 70s. This boy would have been born in the early 70s. And she died in the late 70s. So, yeah, that's a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Danny Sargent at 81. He was an actor. Here's another one that I didn't really.
It said something about Sesame Street. He was involved with Sesame Street somehow,
and the Electric Company. But I don't think it was the Electric Company like we watched with you as the kids. I didn't understand it completely. This you just sent me like yesterday.
I did just send that the other day. He was the first live action Spider-Man.
Yes, I did read that.
Yeah, all it says was Sesame Street star and first live-action Spider-Man.
But I don't recognize his name, and I did not recognize his face. No, I didn't either. And like I said, I read some stuff about him being in the Electric Company, but I don't think it was the Electric Company that we watched. And it said that's where he was the first live-action Spider-Man. Was Spider-Man on the Electric Company?
Says it was.
I don't. I absolutely do not recall that.
He played the web-slinging hero in silent pantomime skits called Spidey Super Stories, which combined early green screen work with comic book panels.
Okay.
Faced off with imaginative villains like Spoiler, Funny Bunny, and Mr. Measles, captivating young audiences and introducing many to the beloved superhero.
Is that maybe where you fell in love with Spider-Man?
I don't know.
Because when you were little, you and Spidey were close personal friends.
Yeah. Seagram was trained by Jim Henson and worked on Sesame Street as a puppeteer, often standing in for Big Bird when Carol Spinney was unavailable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I don't recall any of that.
He created and performed puppet characters for shows like Captain Kangaroo and Miss Peach of the Kelly School. He earned a daytime Emmy for Miss Peach.
I do not remember Miss Peach. I do remember Captain Kangaroo.
Yes.
I don't remember Miss Peach in the Kelly School at all. But yeah, I mean, wow. Wow. But yeah. And then we finally have a golfer, Fuzzy Zeller, at 74.
Yeah.
I thought Fuzzy Zeller was way older than 74.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard the name Fuzzy Zeller for 100 years.
Well, he's been golfing since the early 70s. He was golfing in high school, but he came to fame in the early 70s.
Okay.
And like I said, I thought he was way older than...
And he got into a little bit of trouble talking a little bit of shit about Tiger Woods being not white.
Correct.
Because apparently that's a prerequisite for having a successful golf career, is being white.
Apparently.
Who knew?
I didn't. I did not.
No, either.
But, yeah, 74 passed, so... We have a lot of, and what a wide range of people this time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
It's real sad about Udo Kier, but I don't think I knew he was so old.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I'm talking about Udo Kier as, in, you know, in Blade, a 30-year-old movie. So what am I talking about?
Oh, you know, we don't think about that when we're thinking of stuff like that.
Right.
So.
You know, I'm thinking about Blood for Dracula, you know, when he was a young man.
Right, right. So lots of stuff has happened this last couple of weeks. I mean, it's turned to winter here in Ohio.
Ooh, it's cold as hell outside.
Yeah, we're supposed to get 3 to 5 inches of snow this evening.
It looks pretty green outside still, from what I can see through the crack over here.
Yeah. And yesterday we had a little bit of snow flurry. No, not yesterday. Thursday. We had some snow flurries, but it wasn't all that cold. But yeah, we're supposed to get 3 to 5 today. But, you know, the wind's going to blow it all away.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So maybe this will be... Did we already talk about our movie? Yeah, we already talked about our movie, didn't we? I think I just had a blank spot in my brain cell.
Okay.
I don't remember 10 minutes ago.
Sure.
So, yeah, so maybe we will get that snow this year. So
maybe.
It'll be fun. I think I'm ready for a little snow. I still haven't got all the leaves out of my flower bed, get them to the curb, but I should probably do that before they freeze solid.
Oh, it was so windy the other day, it wouldn't have mattered if you had your shit on the curb. Oh my God.
Yeah, because I've got half the neighborhood in my yard now. But, you know, the dumbasses in my neighborhood don't put it at the curb. They put it in the road.
Oh, I hate that.
That is just so dangerous. There's just barely a path down the middle of the street for the cars to drive on.
Ugh.
You know, don't do that. That's just dangerous. You're just asking for a car to drive into your driveway.
Into your house.
Into your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I live on a straightaway street, and I'm about three blocks of straight line, no stop signs, and we get some cars going pretty fast down my street, and school buses and UPS trucks and stuff, and I could absolutely see somebody driving into the front of my house with all the leaves in the road. But they're supposed to come and get our leaves again, so not if they're going to be shoveling snow.
No.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think we're going to get snow, but
hope not. It's just, you know, I've got shit to do, and I don't have time for snow.
Right. Right. I agree with you. I agree with you. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what else happening in Toledo. Nothing.
Nothing. Thanksgiving is over, thank God. Big Daddy and I made a TikTok about it. I put it on Instagram and Facebook. But we Black Friday shopped. He did a pass at Alexis Road Replay when they first opened with their Black Friday hours. And I went through a few hours later to see what he missed,
which was not much.
Well, I went to Reynolds Road and Alexis Road yesterday, and I got 10, 11 movies apiece. So, you know, he did miss a lot.
I think that's funny.
And I nosed into a couple's conversation. They were talking about how to catalog their movies and just how much time it was going to take. And I was just like, hey, listen, I just recently have gone through this conundrum, and I found this program that's free, and you can use it on your computer and your tablet and your phone. And it's, you know, it's on Apple and it's on Android. And, you know, all you have to do is scan the movie. And I said, even if you have to manually type in a movie, if it scans weird or if it won't scan at all, I said, you know, that's not nothing. Cause you know,
yeah.
The amount of movies I have scanned versus having to manually enter is, you know, like 20 to 1.
Right. You have gotten your collection started in order in days instead of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, you look at our TikTok, you'll see her starting collection shelved. She hasn't just started the collection, she's shelving the collection.
And yeah,
I think it looks fabulous.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah. And when you get that next bookshelf together and started, that's going to look really good. It's going to look really cool.
And we're going to have to, like, we're going to have to figure something out with the DVDs, because I have a ton of DVDs.
Yeah.
So, you know, the two shelves aren't going to be enough.
No.
But they have to be enough, because that's all I have room for.
Right. Right. You have a little house. You have a little house, and you need to both live here still.
So.
So, yeah. I get it, but. You know, wow, it looks fabulous.
Thanks.
And it, like I said, it's a perfect backdrop for our TikToks now.
Yeah.
Listen to me absconding with your stuff.
No, that's fine.
But yeah. But yes, that was a good call, eavesdropping on those people and then dropping that information on them.
Because he showed me on his phone. He typed it into his phone, and he was just like, this thing? And I was like, that thing. Said, you know, it's got pay features that if you want to get real fancy with it, but if you're just trying to get a base catalog started, it's free. Free!
Yeah.
So, and he was just like, very cool. Thank you. I'm like, man, no problem.
And then you went off with your armloads of more movies.
Right. The girl at the counter was like, "Do you want a basket?" And I was just like, "Nope, I'm almost done."
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. But yeah, I mean, it looks great. It
Yeah.
looks great.
I did find that I am missing three pegs for the big shelf.
Oh, see, we need to go to
So I
the
do.
home box and buy one of those kits.
Yeah. So I do need to do that. And I, the little shelves only came, it came with, a fixed middle and a fixed bottom, and then three floating shelves. Well, I need more than three floating shelves.
Right.
So I need to figure out how to MacGyver that. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah, I've got that bookshelf in my bedroom that I probably should get rid of because it's nothing but a dust collector. You don't want to have that much dust in your bedroom. I should break that apart and see if those shelves would fit.
Oh, this box is only 23 inches wide.
Well, you've never seen the little one I have in my room?
Okay.
I got it out of the neighbor's garbage when they. Not that you use the whole thing, but you could maybe the shelves would fit.
Oh, maybe.
I wonder if the shelves would fit.
I don't know.
Well, and they're not the dark brown like yours. They're
I mean,
just
I could paint. I'm not
absolutely.
mad about that.
It's a light tan, like the chair, the seat of the chair. It's just a light color.
Oh, yeah, that's
I
fine.
should measure those. If they are, I should
Let me know.
dust everything on my shelving unit and because it's stuff I've collected over 50 years
Yeah.
and it collects the dust also. So
Yeah.
I should get rid of it out of my bedroom. It shouldn't be in my bedroom. But I should do that. Maybe I'll do that when I go home. I'd have to clean my room.
That's the bad thing.
Ay, ay, ay. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
I don't know who's living under my bed. I haven't moved my bed to sweep in a long time.
Ooh.
And I just, put the vacuum under there so far. Scary. That's scary. As much hair is floating around the rest of my house, I bet
Oh.
there's four or five cats living under there.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, you should have seen I when we got this place to a place where we could pick the carpet up and move it, shake it out a little, the sand
Out.
that came out of the carpet. We don't live anywhere near
No,
sand. Why is there
where does it?
sand?
I know, where does it come from?
Ugh,
I don't use
gross.
my front door. I shake out that little rug that's in front of my front door and there's sand there. Who's coming in that door with sand?
I don't know, man. It was wild.
I think it just goes through the carpeting and just turns into sand.
It must. Because I was like, what in the hell? And I, when we did all that moving around and shaking the carpet out, I vacuumed like four times in an hour. Like,
Yeah.
move this so I can vacuum there. Move this so I can vacuum there.
Oh
Because it
my.
hasn't been able, like, we haven't been able to get to this shit because we just have shit on shit on shit.
My goodness. And the cat hair. I can't even imagine the cat hair you found.
Oh.
The part of the kitchen that I don't go into, I took the broom to it. Oh, I don't know, maybe last weekend. There was so much cat hair over there. I thought, oh my God. No wonder I have cat hair tumbleweeds blowing through my house. The cat goes over there to let loose of his fur. Oh my. It's amazing to me. So,
Well,
yeah. All good. All good. All is good.
yeah, and I think we said a good bit about the wedding singer.
Yeah, I love this movie. Watch it.
Yeah, dig it out of your collection and find, because it's hard to find at the used stores.
Interesting. Am I like the only person that really likes it?
Well, maybe the people that own it just aren't getting rid of it because they like it.
Oh, that I believe.
You know, some of the keepers.
Okay. All right. But yeah, find it. It's fun. It's a wonderful movie.
It's real cute.
Yeah.
All right. And come back in a couple weeks for when we watch Abigail, our 99th movie.
Oh, my goodness. It'll be fun.
The end of our favorite series.
Yep.
We'll have a good time.
We will.
There's no food in that movie.
Oh, okay. Then what are we going to eat?
We'll figure it out.
We will. We'll have something.
We can have whatever we want.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's call this one done and done.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Stick with us.
Bye.
Bye.